presenting Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves.
The X-4 calling control tower. The X-4 calling control tower. Standing by.
Control tower, back to the X-4. Wind southeast, ceiling 1200. All clear.
Okay, this is Pop Harrigan coming in.
Yes, it's America's ace of the airwaves. Coming in for another transcribed episode in the adventures of Pop Harrigan.
Say, gang, here's a dandy idea for a rainy day, or any time for that matter, when you're shut up in the house. It could even be used as a game. Take a pencil and paper and make believe you're planning a new airline route. Then try to figure out all the things you'll need to begin service, and also the supplies to keep on going. Well, that's not an easy job. You can take the word of many airline men who have had to do it. Recently, Northwest Airlines began regularly scheduled flights to the Orient, the Philippines, China, and Japan. It took them 11 months to set up that route, and to make sure it'll keep going no matter what happens. It was a three-way problem. First, all the supplies and equipment had to be purchased. Then all of it had to be cleared for customs. And lastly, the hundreds of tons had to be sent halfway around the world. Doesn't take much to say that, but it kept the airline men busy for almost a whole year doing it. Locating things like diesel generators, electric light plants, and aircraft supplies is a tough job. Jeeps, cars, and trucks were other items on the list. And topping it all off were three buses, each to hold 42 passengers. One of them was for Manila and two for Tokyo. And all I've mentioned is only a small part of the total list. Things like beds, pillows, blankets, pots and pans. Say, I'll bet that list was a mile long. Most of the supplies were flown to the Far East by huge DC-4s and 3s, lugging them over long stretches of water and land to the main stops along the way. Other problems had to be solved too, which I'll fade for later on, so don't forget to listen. And now for our story. When Vinnie Stephens, one of Paul Conroy's partners in the 8th Flying Service, was blinded in an accident resulting from the appearance of another wartime enemy fighter plane, Hoff and Tank helped him come in for a safe landing and then examined his ship closely. The forward section of the DC-4 transport was badly damaged, the nose smashed in, cockpit windows shattered, and the fuselage blackened by fire. At the conclusion of his inspection, however, Hoff made an astonishing statement.
Something's wrong somewhere. I'll bet my bottom dollar this ship was never hit by a Jap fighter. It was never hit by a plane at all.
As we continue now, it is a few hours later. In a hospital near the airport, Paul Conroy sits on the edge of the bed, listening intently as Hoff questions Vinny.
You sure you feel well enough to talk? This can wait till later, you know.
I'm okay, Harrigan.
Fire away.
You want me to pull the shade down, Vinny? The sun's getting in your eyes.
No. Leave it. I'm glad to be able to see it.
See it? You mean your eyes are okay?
Oh, I'm sorry, Tank. I forgot to tell you. Vinny's blindness was only temporary.
Doc said I got a bad crack on the head, and that's what did it. I could see almost as soon as I got here.
And Pete Lyons, the co-pilot, he's going to be all right, too.
Gosh, you guys sure are lucky.
Yeah. Now, look, Vinny. Exactly what happened upstairs?
Well, let's see. I was about 50 miles east of Oklahoma City, heading for Little Rock. It was still dark.
Wait a minute. Weren't you coming from El Paso?
Yes.
Oh, flying pretty far north, weren't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I forgot. I got a lead on a cargo up at Albuquerque, so I went chasing after it. But it was a false alarm. Then I headed straight east.
Oh, okay. Sorry I interrupted.
Well, as I said, I was heading for Little Rock when all of a sudden Pete spotted the Jap plane off to our right, about 1,000 feet up.
Same greenish color as the others?
Yeah. Gave me the shivers.
You sure it was a Mitsubishi?
I plowed my way through enough of them out in the Pacific, Tinker, to know one when I see it.
Oh, go on, Vinny.
Well, as we were watching it, it spun around and headed straight for us, just like it was making a run. I came out of my trance and reported to the range station, and it was on top of us. I could hear the engine, hear the machine gun.
Did you hear a voice?
Yes. Brother, my hair lifted right off my head. It said, "No, I will be avenged. You curse my death. I come back. You will die, Yankee pilot."
Holy cow. Then what?
The jet plowed right into me, head on, just like the old kamikaze flyers. Then I went out, and from the crack on the head, I guess, and when I woke up, I couldn't see.
Well, what about the fire?
It went out by itself, which was lucky.
Well, what did you do?
Well, I called Pete, but he didn't answer. I thought he was dead. When I reached over, I felt he was still in his seat. His heart was still beating.
And?
Oh, I sat there for a while, and then I decided to try to get the ship in. I followed the beam, and You know the rest.
You did a sweet job, pal.
Vinny, you're absolutely certain you saw a Jap plane?
Yes.
And you'll swear it hit your ship?
Harrigan, I saw it with my own eyes.
What's the idea, Hop?
Only trying to pin down some of the facts. Okay, Vinny, thanks.
Oh, you don't have to go. I'm not tired.
Well, we've got a lot of work ahead of us, fella. The sooner we get started, the sooner we can clean up this mystery. On the ball, thing.
You bet. Going back to the field, Hop.
Yeah, I want to talk to the mechanics.
All right, I'll go along and find out how many more customers we've lost.
Paul, is it bad?
Yes, it's getting a little rough, but don't you worry about it. I'll pop in and see you tonight.
Fine.
So long, Vinny. See you later.
Okay, Harrigan. Good luck.
Thanks.
Bye.
Well, learn anything?
Not much.
Why didn't you tell him what you told me, Hop?
Well,
what are you talking about?
Hop says the ship wasn't hit by a plane.
Are you kidding? You heard what Vinny said?
I think he's made a mistake.
How can you make a mistake about a thing like that?
Paul, did you examine the wreckage?
No. What about it? Did you find anything?
No, that's just it. There should have been some trace of the Jap plane, a wing spar, part of the engine mounting, a prop maybe.
And there wasn't?
No. And honestly, Paul, do you think if a fighter had actually crashed into the DC-4, it could have stayed in the air?
Well, no, Hop, but hang it, Vinny wouldn't lie. I know he wouldn't.
Take it easy. I didn't say he did. But there is something to think about.
Here's the car.
So those kids we all sit in front?
Yeah, sure thing. You, want to go straight back to the field?
Yeah.
Oh, Hop.
Uh-huh.
What do you expect to learn from the mechanic?
Who cut the strap on our ship last night?
Oh, yes, yes, I forgot about that.
Well, I ain't. Let's get rolling.
Those boys were on duty last night, working on a DC-4.
Yeah. Ain't wasting any time, are they?
No, we still have a few customers. Hey, Shorty.
Yeah?
Can I have a word with him?
Yeah, sure.
Shorty's the crew chief, Hop.
Oh. Hey, what's up, Mr. Conroy?
Shorty, this is Mr. Harrigan, Mr. Tinker.
Yeah, glad to know you.
Hello, Shorty.
Hi. I have a couple of questions they'd like to ask.
Yeah, go ahead, shoot.
Shorty, which one of the boys took care of loading the DC-3 last night?
We all pitched in on it.
Well, who worked inside the plant?
I did. Chris and Harry was in there, too.
Were the straps all right?
Sure.
You're positive?
I checked it myself like I always do. Funny, Mr. Conroy.
Yeah, if we leave the whole thing up to Shorty, he always does a good job.
And you didn't see any straps that were weak, that might break?
Well, if I did, I'd have ripped them out. That's dangerous.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Shorty, just one more question. Did you see anybody go into the plane after you checked the straps?
No, I can't say as I did. Except you and Mr. Tinker and Mr. Conroy here.
Okay, Shorty, thanks.
You're welcome.
Why do you think you get the plane in shape?
Yeah, she'll be ready tomorrow afternoon for sure.
All right, fine. Thanks, Shorty.
Okay, so long, Mr. Harrigan.
So long. Why didn't you tell him about the strap?
No, I don't want to spread it all over the place. So, what now?
So, I guess we'll just mosey around a while.
Well, I have to go back to the office and paperwork. Suppose you meet me there when you're through.
Right. Yeah, you better get rolling. There's Bert Craig over there. Looks like he's got something on his mind.
Yeah. Probably going to tell me we've lost another customer. I'll see you later.
No, we won't be long, Paul. Come on, Ben. What are we looking for now? Nothing in particular. Everything in general. It's just big help, pal. I can't get over the way the ship came through the crash. Look, those inboard engines weren't even touched.
Yeah. Got it all right in the snoot.
Yeah, and yet Vinny swears it was...
Hey, you!
Hey, Hop, the grease monkey's calling me. You want me?
Yeah. I heard you talking to Shorty.
So?
You want to know who was in the plane after you checked the cargo straps, didn't you?
That's right. Did you see anything?
Yeah, I sure did. But I can't talk now. Hey, meet me at my place tonight, 21 Washington Street, huh? 4th floor back. Be there around 9.
Oh, I can't you tell me now?
I'll see you later.
Wait a minute.
Is something you wanted to say, Harrigan?
No, thanks, Shorty. We were just looking at the damage.
Yeah, we'll get it fixed up good as new now.
I'm sure you will. See you later.
All right.
Hey, why wouldn't that grease monkey talk instead of waiting for 9 o'clock?
You got me. But maybe now, with any kind of a decent break, we'll get somewhere.
Puzzled by the plane mechanic's furtive behavior, but still optimistic, Hop leads the way out of the hangar, satisfied that he and Tank now have a good lead to work on. There's a startling surprise ahead, gang, so stand by.
Now, fellas and girls, let's get back to that new Northwest Airline route we were talking about at the beginning of Hop Harrigan. Along with all the supplies and equipment that are necessary, I completely forgot to tell you about food, which is, after all, a pretty important item on a long air trip. Northwest Airlines has set a dinner table from New York to Manila with enough food to feed 25,000 people. Steaks, chicken, turkey, beef, all the trimmings. It'd be impossible to cook all that food on the plane, so What they've done is to cook it beforehand and then freeze it. In this way, the meal can be served any time during the day and takes up very little storage space. Like all the other supplies, the food had to be shipped to the many stopping points along the route. Some went to, well, to Tokyo, to Manila, and Alaska. The food director for Northwest Airlines says 25,000 meals would only last 3 months. And they figured out that a passenger going from New York to Manila will cover about 1,000 miles with a food tray on his lap. That's almost like eating your way to China. The first plane to fly Northwest's Orient route started out July 15th. The wife of the Chinese ambassador came up to New York from Washington and christened the Douglas DC-4 the Shanghai. Others in the fleet of four-engine ships will carry the names of important cities along the way. The 40-hour trip from New York to Manila will fly the Great Circle route over the top of the world. From New York and Minneapolis, the planes will head out to Alaska and over the Aleutians. From there, down the North Pacific to Tokyo, then Shanghai and Manila. 3 times each week, the flight will be repeated as one of the great pioneering efforts in Northwest Airlines history. Fellows and girls, whether it be commercial or private flying, always remember America needs flyers. And now back to our story. Stopped by one of the airline mechanics who apparently knows something that will help them solve the mystery surrounding the Ace Flying Service, Offentank promised to meet him at his room at 9 p.m. We find them now in the elevator of the building at 21 Washington Street on their way up to the fourth floor.
Boy, this crate is rickety.
Yeah, I hope we make it all right.
Better be worse coming all the way out here. Lucky we asked Paul and Craig how to go. We'd have got lost for sure.
Yeah, here we are. Open the gate, will you?
Go ahead.
No, thanks.
Hey, what's that?
Sounds like somebody going downstairs. Come on, get the way up this way. Yeah, that must be... Yeah, the door's open.
He's expecting us, ain't he? Do we walk in?
I better knock first.
No answer.
Hang in there! It's right.
Funny. Let's go in.
Anybody home?
Room's empty. Lights are on.
Holy cow, look.
Huh?
Behind that big chair. It's the grease monkey.
Huh? He's dead.
His finger trembling, Tank points to a gruesome sight. To the body of the mechanic, sprawled on the floor, half hidden by a chair, 2 sightless eyes staring at the ceiling. So he did know something. Something he will never divulge. Gang, the riddle of the ghostly Avengers grows more exciting and puzzling with each new episode. So don't miss even one of them. Tune in and fly with Hop Harrigan, America's Ace of the Airwaves. So long, Hop. We'll be seeing you same time, same mutual station. Hop Harrigan is a transcribed copyrighted feature appearing in All American Comics magazine.